I made a post a week or so ago about hangovers, and so far, statistically, according to TikTok algorithm and Instagram algorithm, it's performing one of the best so far, even though it hasn't had as many views as some of my others. But statistically, it looks to maybe be one of the most algorithmed posts. I wrote it on hangovers and recorded it, and where it came from, I was never going to post it. It's just a dumb thought that I've had for ages, but I was totally out of ideas, and I thought, fuck it, that's all I've got left. That's at the bottom of the barrel. That's the one I keep leaving because I don't want to talk about the benefits of a hangover. But I've phrased it in such a way that it could kind of work. I don't want to talk about it because it's bullshit, and it's not something that you want to promote. But I thought, fuck it. How can I write it in such a way that it can fly, that it can still work, and it's something that I've thought of. It's an honest thought, and it flew, and that made me think. It's like I'm getting in the way of myself with all these other bullshit ideas, but the ones that I think about that are personal to me, and I never put them out there because that's just too personal. They're the fucking best ones. It kind of feels like almost exploiting myself in a way, and that can kind of be a little bit dangerous. Like, I feel like I probably post 50% of what I think online, and that thought was one of those thoughts that was across the borderline of that 50% and into personal territory, where it's like, no, that's the kind of shit I don't want to really talk about. But it's fucking flown, and it's making me feel all greedy. It's like, how much more of myself do I want to exploit? Because as soon as I cross that 50% line of the stuff that's sacred to me and it's only mine. I didn't know until I posted that. It feels like I've got all this stuff that I know that would absolutely fly on social media. All these stories that would be crazy, like my craziest stuff that I've just gone, nah, don't go there. But now greedy me is considering going, oh, I've got a lot of interesting greedy stories that are actually, that are real stories. It's not like I'm making up bullshit with half of the stuff that I share, but there's some stuff that I go, no one talks about that, so I'm not going to talk about that. That's kind of stupid. So all these little stories that are floating around in the back of my head, now I'm trying to almost consciously make the unconscious stuff that I deal with on a day-to-day or wrestle with or chew on. Where can I go with that? What can I do without exploiting the shit out of myself? Can I take it up to like 60, 70% yet still have 30? It's kind of bullshit to almost give it some kind of percentage territorial crap, but maybe there's a place where I go, fuck it, this is what I think. I remember Louis C.K., I know Louis C.K., what he did and the power that he abused and all that sort of shit. But I always feel like you have to be able to separate the artist from their art. Because if an artist is only just an antenna to the magic realm of creativity, then the artist is not their art. They're just an antenna. So his advice, well, he wasn't really advice, but he said that he wished he didn't share as much personal stuff that he did, which made him kind of famous. He said something like, as soon as I started sharing real shit that was going on in my life, then that's when it all exploded for him and things became crazy for him. But ironically, he wished he never did it. Like 10, 15 years later, he goes, no, I wish I hadn't exploited myself so much. I wish I hadn't shared that stuff. But the weird thing is, like, if he hadn't shared a lot of that personal stuff, that he talked about suicide and all that sort of shit before the crazy shit happened. For me, some of his stuff has saved me from going, fuck this life. And a few other artists have saved me from going, fuck this life as well. And I know that they would totally be cancelled. Listening to his stuff, like his jokes are, for me, his jokes, he's that no one else can write like him. No one else who's alive, apart from maybe Nick Pizzolatto, can write like him. But listening to his interviews behind his jokes, for me, they bring something that's almost more important and more brutally honest than his pithy one-liners that he will say in a concert. I'm always more fascinated by the underlying workings and the foundational emotional truths that a comedian works with and plays with to create the concise, combustible lines that they'll bring out at their shows. While I'm not a comedian, I love playing in that same area. I feel like, in a way, I feel like I'm a comedian, but I don't say jokes. I just work with the truth that jokes are based on. When I worked in advertising, they always talked about ideas have to be based on some kind of truth. They always talked about the word truth. It's interesting from an industry that feels like it's selling lies, that their whole reason to be is they keep throwing the word truth around. And while it is kind of a, like, what the fuck industry, I've always found it interesting, even though I was there for 2 years or whatever, that I found that interesting, that any good idea that resonates has to be based on some kind of truth. And a lot of comedy is based on that sort of truth. A lot of poetry doesn't feel like it's based on anything real. It feels like it's self-indulgent, twattery, most poetry. Even though it's written as if it is, like, this is me and this is all my flaws, or this is all the beauty, it feels almost like bullshit. So advertising and comedy both share, or both mine, that same kind of essence of truth, that emotional truth, not the bullshit, my truth, that I talked about in the last podcast. So yeah, when I posted that sort of the hangovers thing, like, I've had so many experiences with hangovers, and I feel kind of a sense of shame from it, and especially in a society that basically prizes health above everything else. Of course, we no one wants to die. No, everyone wants good health, and in an age where wellness industries are booming that attract unbelievable amounts, disproportionate amounts of narcissistic people, a little pushback against that almost feels due. And that's probably why the hangover post has resonated unexpectedly, I guess. I can't post-rationalise why it worked, but it did feel like something that I was like, oh, this is the first line where I'm crossing into some kind of personal territory. Do I want to do this? And I thought, ah, fuck it, I'll give a little and see what happens. But yeah, I think that's where I want to go. Like, the next stop is I want to start pushing my own boundaries. I want to start finding places that are more real than, and just keep digging. George Carlin talked about how you keep digging, you do this thing, and then you come to the bottom of it, and then you dig through another thing, and you come to the bottom of that, and you keep digging almost until it just feels like an endless thing. And I've mentioned this before, is like you, as soon as you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, you realize the bottom of the barrel will become a magician's hat. And that's what I love about creativity. And also, like any good writing, you'll almost always have to write through all the shit to get to the good stuff. You have to write through 99% of shit to get to the good stuff. And while 99% of that stuff that I've written for years, a lot of it's been good. I guess the metaphor now is the good stuff is now the stuff that I've never really wanted to say before. Tickets to my live show in August in Melbourne are available in my show notes, and I'd love if you left a review for this podcast if you're listening on it, Spotify or Apple Podcasts.